Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 211, part 1, Self-Righteous. Today is Friday, September 9th, 2011. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if your household needs food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. You would come between 9:30 and 10:30, Monday through Friday, bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verification of the household members, either medical cards or social security cards. It's that simple. Pastor Paul's club distributes a lot of groceries, so be sure to bring help carrying the food, or if you're on the bus, bring a grocery cart or a huge bag, because there is a lot of food. A lot of times, Pastor Paul gives away cases of perishable food as well, such as fruits and vegetables, and 20-pound bags of onions. We deal with a lot of perishable foods, fresh foods, as well as frozen, not so much in the canned goods. So be sure to be prepared to carry, bring extra bags. Okay, if you have any questions, you want more information about Pastor Paul's club, you can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find a link to Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the show notes as well. And then there are the scripture links in the show notes too. And subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now for the month of September, these are the messages. The poor, self-righteous, crossing over, commitment, and separated. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. That's all I have for you. Have a great month of September. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled Self-Righteous. I believe when we minister to the unsaved, we remind ourselves to continue on and give thanks. When we minister to the unsaved, sometimes we're so busy talking to ourselves, building up ourselves, we don't have time to minister to the unsaved. And really, the edification and the growth comes in ministering to the unsaved. And also, have you ever noticed how we all try to appear at times better than we really know we are? sort of an acting like. Do you ever catch yourself acting out a part? Yeah, I know I do. You know, there's a brand new wave of ministry coming. It seems like every 4 or 5 years, there's a brand new wave of ministries that goes from different teachings through the last 14 or 15 years of the charismatic movement. And we go through phases of ministries. You go to this ministry, and then they go on to this in the kingdom ministry and the hyperfaith and the claiming ministries and the explosion ministries, and then we go on. But there's a brand new wave of ministry coming. And the brand new wave of ministries coming is like this. You're not saved unless you work on it. That's the brand new way. And force yourself. Now you watch in the next few months this thing mushroom and grow. But listen to what it says in Job 9 and 20. If I justify myself, mine own mouth will condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. And I've had people in my office and they scream so loud, I thought, who are you trying to convince? Me? The neighborhood or yourself? And that new wave of ministry is, you're not saved unless you work on it. And they said, Pastor, you're really saved because you can see the works you're doing. I said, that doesn't have a thing to do with my salvation. Nothing. You can sit out in the middle of a cornfield, and when the rapture comes, if you're saved, you're going to go. Of course, I said there is the great white throne of judgment where all the Christians will be judged. Not in accordance to sin, because sin has been nailed to the cross for all those that have received Christ as their personal Savior, but the fruit of the Spirit being in you will be some type of work. Not for your salvation. I'm not talking about that. So I said, you know, we cannot say any time that we can work our way into heaven, and they just become riled up and angry. Now I said, ever since man has become a sinner, he has been self-righteous. In other words, I said, when he lost the righteousness of God, he couldn't come up with a better model than himself. Couldn't find anybody to take the place better than himself. So he used himself as a model, and he built on this model. You see, when he had a righteousness of his own, he never gloried in it. But isn't it funny, I said, when he lost it, he has pretended to be the possessor of it. Isn't there a song like that? Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Isn't there a song like that? Pretending that I am not lost? Pretending that I am alive? And even when Adam sought to cover his guilt by blaming Eve, he actually blamed God who gave him the woman. I mean, God, you made her. This little misery maker, you gave her to me. And then he covered himself with a fig leaf to excuse himself. Know how he held on to that little fig leaf. And as it was with our first parents, so it is with us. Self-righteousness is born with us, and no sin has as much vitality as the sin of self-righteousness. I mean, it is very, I'm talking vitality. I'm talking vitality. We can overcome lust and we can overcome anger and all the fierce passions of the will. All of them. Better than we can master the proud boastfulness. Isn't there a song like that? Hey, look at me. Give me the eye. Have you ever seen such a wonderful guy? But anyway, this boastfulness rises up in our hearts. Know how we love to boast. And attempts us, the Bible says, to think we are increased in good when God says, you are miserable, wretched, and poor. Well, I believe that poor is poor in understanding our lost condition, mostly. Anyone that has had the light of the Holy Spirit on them knows how thoroughly lost they are without God. Now, I know millions of sermons have been preached against self-righteousness, but it is still alive and it is still well on this planet. It's kind of like those old cowboy movies when they used to shoot a guy and he would die for about 15 minutes. You'd see one leg come up from behind the bar and then you'd stumble over into a table and then he'd wander out the back door and walk around the front and fall in the dust and twitch a little bit and go on for a long time. They say self-righteousness does not die a quick or an easy death. No, it's still alive and it's still well. Now, the legalist still boasts in what he can do. And their road to heaven is marked with self-righteousness. Kilroy was here, science. And I've had him come into my office, and this very week even, with this boastfulness and this, boy, we're working and we're doing this and we're doing that. And I think many of you listening to the radio right now, to this broadcast, still live under that delusion. You still trust in yourself. Get ready for a large letdown. Now, those of you who are righteous in Christ still have to mourn your infirmities. While yet many not saved and some saved, still I think they shall enter heaven because of their, they think they'll enter heaven because of their own doings. Now, that is not the case. You cannot make it to heaven by doing a lot of things. And I think a lot of people are under that delusion. They'll come to the mission and they'll say, boy, now this, you and the people in here that are working with you are certainly going to go to heaven because of all that what you're doing. And I said, you can't do enough to make it into heaven. Because, see, you're talking about doing something that's already been done. Finished. Over with. Imputed to you. Righteousness. Nothing that you can bark or yell or scream about or carnivalite about. Something that's already been done. Now, there's a heavy spirit, they say, but yes. But don't you see, and they'll come up with this scripture and that scripture and this scripture and that. See, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it says this and it says that. But you can tell it's from Satan when they don't mention the blood and they don't mention Jesus Christ and they don't mention the righteousness of God and the grace of God. And they have a point and they have kind of a message, but it's not the gospel. And I believe some still think that they can put on their own merits. And they can put them on, let's say, on their tombstone when they die. Born September 19th, 1885, let's say. Died September 19th, 1986. And then they give their account. Gave to the poor. Worked in the soup kitchen. Gave $140 to a beggar one time. Sent money to his folks all the time. Prayed at the midnight hour with folks. Worked on sermons all night. Gave 50% more of his money. And he would like to add all his good works to this tombstone, but the graveyard code states that no tombstone, don't you see, can be over 40 feet tall. So down at the bottom of the tombstone, he has a little sign there. It says, please take one of these 400-page pamphlets at the bottom of the tombstone. It'll tell you more about myself. You know, next to the offering bucket to help pay for the cost of printing. I hope that this sermon will give self-righteousness another blow. It needs blows. It needs to be smacked every once in a while. Let us spare no arrows against it. Let's go tonight for its heart. So let's first go to the plea of self-righteousness that contradicts itself. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. Do any of you listening think you can on your own merits, without Christ, make it to heaven? Can you claim, I said, heaven in your own right? I'll tell you that you can't because, see, your own declaration condemns you. The plea, in other words, itself is an arrogant presumption. God says, let every Jew and Gentile stop his mouth and let the world stand guilty before God. God says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is only one good, and that is God. The Bible says all we, like wandering sheep, have gone astray. We have returned everyone to his own way. To his own way, everyone. Not one, everyone. Now we call God a liar when we say we have no sin. We fig leaf it. We hang on our fig leaf and don't reach out for God. We don't accept the covering of righteousness, Jesus Christ, our only covering. Now this is the language of pride, to stand up and commend ourselves. Well, I've done this, and I've done that, and so on like that. Or we sort of worm it out of people so they will commend us. And I'll tell you exactly what that was that came into my office. It was a satanic spirit, or even on the telephone, that tries and bewitch many, and the Bible says, who bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians. Who told you to lift up your own horn? Who told you that you are great? Who told you to say, who needs anybody? Now be careful. Who are you working for? Righteous self or righteous God? And it's worming its way in right now because all the rest of things are London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. The economy has taken care of that. Oh, there's a few that are hanging on yet, diehards, with all their millions of notes, and hyperfaith notes and all this, claiming notes, no suffering. But let's go on. Further, the plea of self-righteousness is self-contradictory upon the another ground, let's say. For all that a self-righteous man pleads for is comparative righteousness. I'm no worse than my neighbor, he says. So now he starts comparing. In fact, I'm better. I go to church. I tithe. I don't beat my wife, or I don't even hit her back when she beats me. I'm kind to all my four-footed friends. I don't smoke. And I don't drink. And if I can't enter heaven, who can? That's great, but all that you claim is that you are righteous compared to others. You're not to compare yourself with other people. They all have sinned, and they all have gone astray, and they all have missed the mark. And no, there is not one good, no, not one. And if any man say he be without sin, the Bible says he's a liar. And there is no truth in him. Now, when some of these sidewinders come in, well, then you gotta give the truth. And so it gets kind of loud. Not on my part, because I don't have to scream. All have gone astray. The Bible says your righteousness is but filthy rags. And can't you see this is a very vain and fatal plea? See, because you do in fact admit that you are not perfectly righteous. And the Bible says if you're going to be righteous under the law, then you've got to be perfectly righteous under the law. Impossible. See, you're saying there is some sin in me. You only claim there is not as much in you as in another. And that right there will send you to hell. If you're living under the law, you're admitting that, well, I'm diseased, you know, but it's under my clothes, not as apparent as others. I got it under control, sort of like this herpes, only shows up under stress. Sure, you say, I break the laws, but no biggies. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, period. How would you like to live under the law that you preach, preachers? There is no man that can live under that law. It was made to show man his sin, and it is impossible for you to, and then you could keep it perfectly according to your own mind. Then there's another judge that can find a million things wrong with your perfectness. Because if we're to be perfect, now we're talking in the perfect, holy sense of keeping the law, it is impossible for man to keep it 100% according to God's righteousness. Now I don't care if you lock yourself up in some kind of a chest, wrap chains around it, you're still going to be sinning inside of that chest. Are you hearing this? Now you can put on long robes and you can crawl up in some cave and write all kinds of things and do everything, but you're still going to have, your body is filled with sin just as much as somebody down there in Skid Row, don't you see? And you just got to slay this self-righteous spirit all the time. And it's coming on strong now. Isn't it? Sure, it's coming on strong. It's works thing. Well, it's wonderful to work. It's wonderful. Well, whistle while you work. It's wonderful. But we don't boast in that as a way to being saved. And never ever think that you can stand before God on your own merits. Now, let's say if an announcement came that God was coming tomorrow, how well would you sleep on your own self-righteous bed, your lumpy works? Would you sleep? God is coming tomorrow, and here you are with your works all laid out here. Everything is laid out. God, I've been so good. Lord, I've been so good this week. I don't know. This is the best I've ever been. I'll sleep tonight. I'm coming tonight. I'll bet you'd be going over your notes, wouldn't you? See, that's the beauty of being under grace, you see. Jesus did it all. I can boast in nothing. Oh my, there are so many scriptures. But suppose the command then was issued to the beast of the forest to become sheep. How vain for the bear to come forward and say, I'm not as bad as the snake or the wolf. Wolf to say, hey, I'm not as crafty, let's say, as a fox. What God would it do to argue? The indictment is none of these animals are sheep. They are as bad as the rest. Or let's say a man comes before the judge for stealing and he states, hey, a lot of people steal, judge. Every day people shoplift. Arrest them! How about them? Now, would his argument lessen his sentence? Were the murderer? A lot of people murder! Would that make it less? No. No, see, there is no way out of this world alive other than receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now listen, sinner, one spot of sin on you, not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, will get you all the way to hell. No transfer problem either. It's a non-stop flight. But going on, but further, the plea of the self-righteous man is that he has done his best and can claim a partial righteousness. Well, I did the best I could. I raised my family. I tried to get along with everybody. I went to work every day. Huh? How many of you heard talk like that? Sure, I sinned as a youth. But now I have quit all that nonsense. Can't you see, you listening on the radio, you're only claiming a partial righteousness? Actually, you have none? Listen, the robe you have to wear before God must, the Bible says, be without spot and be without wrinkle under God's light. You must have, the Bible says, a perfect righteousness. But I hear someone saying, I have kept all the commandments most of the time. Sorry, you must keep them all of the time, 100% of the time, all the time, or you won't make it. And you must do it with no boasting, and you must do it with no comparing, and you must do it with no complaining, and you must do it with no finger pointing, and you must keep the law perfectly. Is there anyone in here that can say that they can keep the law perfectly? You listening on the radio, all of you sham preachers that I hear on the radio that got all this self-righteous, finger-pointing, long, great big long fingernail whipping out there, and them long shiny shoes, and that hair that's got sprayed, if you bumped into you, it'd crack your hair. Now, the Bible under your arm, quoting all them scriptures, are you going to make it on your own righteousness? No! And so what I've said here, if you have sinned in any point, any point, in any degree, you have broken the whole law. That's a heavy sentence just to try to keep that. Now, I don't care how busy you are, you can't keep it. You stand guilty before God. You can't be saved by works of the law while you stop preaching it. Do whatever you may, you can't do it. Well, I hear someone say it's a hard sentence. Who can bear it? Well, listen, my wax-footed friend, you can't stand God's heat any better than anybody else can. By the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh living justified. Cursed, the Bible says, is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the law to do them. Cursed is the man that sins one time. Say you went on for years and years and years and actually didn't do one sin. And just your last dying breath, you sinned. Hell. Hell! Well, gee, I was doing fine. I just got saved. I hear someone on the radio saying to me right now, I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? It means you didn't receive Jesus Christ. That's the unpardonable sin. See, if you don't receive pardon, you can't be pardoned. That's the only thing you can do, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Not to receive Jesus Christ, not to receive pardon, says you're not pardoned. And so that's the unpardonable sin. Pardon me. Oh, and you make it so hard for people to understand the simple gospel message. I said, cursed is the man that sins but once. Yes, hopelessly cursed. So far as the law is concerned. And at this point, I can't help. I got to bring in the gospel. I can't help but turn aside from this, from the subject for a moment to remind you that there is a way of salvation and a way by which the law's demand can be fully satisfied. And the Bible says like this, Christ bore all the punishment of all the believers so that they cannot be punished. Cannot be punished. See, our flesh was grafted on Jesus. And His Spirit was grafted in us. Christ kept the law. And the law of God for all believers. And is willing to wrap around any and every penitent sinner, that perfect robe of righteousness, which He Himself made for you and me, and that's your way out. And it's so simple that we want to belabor it. It's so simple that we want to come up with a new leg of something, and a new road, or some kind of a detour, so we got something special for people. When there's only one special one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the main issue. And why are we bored and frumped out? Why are we always arguing? Because we've left the main road. We left the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and we have left Him. Gone astray. And the people that come in with this new works program, and they'll zero in on someone that they'll use as an example. Like, for instance, this ministry. Now, see here, you're doing works. Now, Bible says you'll never get to heaven unless you do works. I says, no, that's not true. Well, I said, how many in your congregation? Well, there's quite a few, but we never meet together. We all meet just separate. We all go out and do good works by ourselves. We never come into a group. Why? Can't you stand each other? Huh? Isn't that kind of funny when you take and separate people? Have them all going out, and they think they're going to make it to heaven by doing good works. You ever seen like Mormons running around? They got the little suit on and the bowl haircut. And the little pad and the little pencils in there. And they're walking along, and they're going to make it to heaven by doing this. They got a two-year thing they have to do. They have to go out there for 2 years and talk to people about nothing. You want to talk hard, Sal? Go on out there and be a Mormon for 2 years. Try to sell yourself. How many are hearing this? Now, I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus. Now, to minister gospel isn't easy, see, because there's a lot more involved in ministering the gospel because people are bored with it. Totally bored. They want to go to meetings where they lay hands on each other and they prophesy over each other and they have all these groups and sit in circles and don't do a thing. And for sure, they don't want to minister gospel. So there is a portion of the Bible that is for works, and it's great to do that, but you see, it is the Spirit that brings it forth. You love to do it, not because you're a lovely person, but you have been made willing and you just love to do it, and you don't know why. You should hate it by all. Shouldn't you? Shouldn't you? And then the guy ended up by saying, you must force yourself. You must force yourself to do these works. I thought, well, I'm forcing myself to listen to you. How am I hearing this? Ooh. Christ, I said, you listening on the radio. Christ did it all. See, you can't keep the law. And if you bring up your self-righteousness, the Bible says the law condemns both you and it. And anyway, out of your own mouth, it condemns you. See, because you have not done all things and have not kept all the law. So you condemn yourself. See, you must be perfect according to God. And He's the only just judge. Other people might say, now here is a really righteous person. I mean, sir, you are the most righteous person I ever met. You have given up everything, sir, for your ministry. You have given up your reputation. You have given up part of your family. You have given up your home. You are righteous. Who says? Who says? He says. He's not the judge. God is the judge. There is no man just on his own merit. It is only by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that you have been made righteous. Now, can you unmake something that's been made by God? No. No, you can't unmake it. It's been made. That's like people sometimes, I wish that kid never would have been born. He's still there, is a fact. Do you ever wish you had never been born? Oh, God, I wish I'd never been born. How many have said that? Never said it? Oh, I wish I never would have been. How did I get into this mess? You're born. You're born into it. You're going to die in it. Well, I'll put it another way. Did you ever wish that you weren't around? How many have wished that they'd never... Oh, I wish I could just go hide someplace. At least that much. Anybody? Okay, there's a few stubborn ones on the radio. Wouldn't ever raise their hand. God, they wouldn't raise their hand. I tell you, no way. If a flood was coming to save themselves. Ooh. No, the Bible says you must be perfect according to God. One morning, there was a talk show on. And I showed this legal pastor. He had been a legal, I'll say, pastor for years and years and years, and he was talking. And he said like this, "I have come to a conclusion that all people are good." So he went all the way the other way. "And that the threat of hell made them bad." And some of what he said I thought was okay, it was good, because he was talking about forgiveness. But he left out the most important thing. He left out the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. He left out the blood. And then he said something that was so profound, I didn't believe it. "We should all forgive God." Well, I thought to myself, were you mad at God? Did you think God was mad at you? And so out of his mouth, he condemned himself. Now let's pass on to a second point here. The man who uses this plea condemns the plea himself. Because you see, not only does the plea cut its own throat, but the man himself is aware when he uses it that it is an evil, and not only an evil, but a false and vain refuge. You know, why is that? Because it's a matter of conscience. Therefore, let me deal real plain. Are you listening on the radio? I want to deal real plain with this and with you listening. Now, if I speak while I'm speaking here, not what you have felt, then just say you're mistaken. But if by chance I speak what you must confess to be true, if you're really truthful, let it be then the voice of God to you. Men know they are guilty.
That was episode 211, part 1, Self-Righteous. Be sure to listen to part 2 on Sunday, September 11th. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.